And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
Welcome back to season number five or six. I've lost count.
Well, you know, it's gone so fast. It's like a happy marriage. You know, it just you lose track of the time.
Yeah, it's we're still in the honeymoon.
It is. That's right. We don't know. Maybe one of our listeners can tell us actually what the nobody will question us because nobody knows.
Oh, if we told them season eight, they'd have to believe us.
There you go. Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. And it's just Rev D and myself, Killer. We'll be joined by Coach in a little bit here. Dr. Jim's in Japan.
Yeah, he's in the Far East doing, I'm sure he'll have a report for us, but I think he's, what, a week in?
Week into a trip? three or four week trip.
Yeah.
So he'll regale us with his trip to the Orient when he gets back. So we'll look forward to that.
Yes, we will.
You know, it's funny. It's been a long week. It feels like it should be Friday already. It's pretty worn out, but you know, just driving to the alternate recording studio here.
Yeah, a little further drive for you.
A little further drive, yeah. But I started feeling pretty good. Knowing we're going to reconnect with our audience and shoot the breeze a little bit here. And
so it's like, you know, it's hard to get revved up when you're at home, but the closer you get to it.
The closer you get to the studio,
the adrenaline gets flowing.
There you go. The adrenaline gets going. Exactly.
Yeah, the ideas start popping.
Yeah, exactly. And then you realize that, you know, we have a gift.
You realize it's showtime.
We got to
show people.
Anyway, what's on your mind?
Well, this is recording September 11th.
And, wow.
What was it, 18 years ago?
Wow, yeah, it was 18 years ago.
Do you remember where you were?
I do. I remember I was at work, and I think the first – we actually had a TV set up. I think we had a Ford Communications Network in all of our buildings, and I don't know if – it wasn't CNN. Maybe it was.
It probably was CNN.
It might have been CNN.
That probably at the time was the only cable news, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the first plane had just struck, and I didn't see it. I don't know if anyone really.
I don't know.
Well, no, there was no recording of it. That's right. Oh, by the way, a recording of the first plane hitting the building just surfaced.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it was a firefighter. But there was some firemen working on an issue. It might have been a gas leak or something like that. Four or five blocks from the Twin Towers. Yeah, they heard a plane. And for whatever reason, they were recording what they were doing and they heard a plane, which was very unusual. And they look up and they see the first plane fly into the first tower.
And they got a video, the only recording.
The known recording.
So what I remember, it was like 3 minutes to 9, I remember.
It was 8:46.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, because okay, that's what WJR had a moment of silence at 8:46.
That was the first plane?
That was the first plane.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I remember 8:57.
Well, that was probably the second plane.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I remember walking, we had a television at the counter in mm-hmm. Ann Arbor. And I think it was always at the time tuned to CNN. We always had the news on it.
Sure.
And everybody's just sitting there watching. And I don't think they showed, it wouldn't have been live, would it?
It might have been the second plane, maybe.
Oh, I don't remember.
I think we saw the second plane live. That's what I remember.
Okay. But I just remember everybody staring at this screen and looking at this and thinking, what? And we didn't know at the time about, I don't think, the Pentagon in Pennsylvania. It was just New York right at that
moment. But it wasn't long after we knew about.
Right.
Because I remember saying, my God, it sounds like we're under attack.
Yes.
Because
when
of
it
the
kept
different locations.
In, right, right. Mm-hmm. It just kept coming in. But it just, you know, you're staring at the World Trade Center. And you're thinking, this is surreal.
This can't be happening. I know.
And even today, when you think about it, you know, flying a plane into the World Trade Center is just, it's unbelievable.
Who would have thought to even.
Well, obviously, nobody
yeah,
thought about
yeah.
it. But look how things have changed since then. You know, the airport security.
Yeah, and, that's right. Gosh, I used to get to an airport.
Oh, 2 minutes 15, before.
Yeah. And I'd be dropping off my rental car and running
right.
through the airport.
O.J. Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. Just like O.J. in the commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing how much that's changed.
Right.
Everything
that's
has changed.
Yeah. That's changed radically.
Yeah.
What America. And I really think that that's a lot of the genesis of what's going on today in the discord in America. I think it started with Clinton in the impeachment.
Okay.
Okay. And yep. the how that affected everybody.
Yep.
Kept building. Or it was kind of under wraps maybe at that. But it was still simmering. And then it came 9/11.
Yeah.
We all united for about a minute.
For about a minute, yeah.
And then, okay, and look what happened. You know, Bush, you know, the decisions that he made were questioned. But I think if you look back, the immediate aftermath, I think Bush and his team did a heck of a job rallying the country.
He did.
Now, you can argue some of his decisions later.
Right.
Okay. But right at that moment.
At ground zero there,
yeah.
and, you know, with the bullhorn and rallying the
yeah.
troops. Yeah.
The pitch at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
You know, they've talked about that he knew he had to throw a perfect strike. And by gosh,
he
goes out there and does it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think you've had that, and then Iraq and the controversy that's gone on over that. Bush is stupid. You've had that. So you had that divisiveness in the country, and then you had Obama with Obamacare, which gave rise to the Tea Party.
Okay.
Who? So we had the discord with Obama, and then it's just kind of exploded with Trump. But I think we've been doing this for 25 years now.
Well, it's been building up, is what
yes,
you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, under Obama, I think people really thought that there was going to be racial harmony. And maybe that was his goal going in, but just everything seemed to backfire on him. It just seemed to, it seemed to
for whatever
widen
reason.
The gap
yeah.
for whatever reason.
Whatever
yeah.
Yeah.
The racial division, and I don't know how much of it is trumped up by the press, but I don't see it in my daily life, but,
I don't
but
either.
You hear and read about it all the time.
I know. And I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
Right.
But I don't know if it's, are we any better off? I think we're better off.
I do think
overall.
Yeah.
We're better off. Not perfect.
No.
I'm not saying that. But anyway, getting back to 9/11, and just like you talked about, the surrealness.
It was
of
surreal.
That all. And then looking at the pictures now of the firemen going in there, the people walking around who were in those buildings, dazed. You know, with it covered with soot and black from smoke. And
well,
there
are still, I was listening to the radio this morning, there are still people that are dying due to...
Breathing?
Breathing and cancer, they say, is attributed to the stuff that they took in, you know,
right.
when they were on the premise there.
Right.
And so we're still losing people because of 9/11.
Right.
Unbelievable. 18 years later,
yeah.
due to health reasons.
And we lost, what, 3,000 that day?
Wow. Staggering.
Yeah. And, you know, you think, okay, the 3,000 people, but the ripple effect that had, you know, the kids, the spouses.
Yeah.
Kids never, you know, didn't see, some of them never knew their dad. You know, if you were 6 months old when your dad...
Right.
Your mom got...
That's right. Every one of those situations when you have, with 3,000 people, you name it, someone was in that position and affected.
Right,
so
right,
adversely.
Right.
Yeah.
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 So it's still going on today.
Very sad. Yeah, it's a deep wound, one of the darkest days in our country. Maybe the darkest.
And what's interesting, Janet, my daughter, works, her office is at the new World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell them not to go in today. Everybody works from home today because the security is so tight down there.
It's probably
which makes perfect
probably
sense.
Probably a good move. Yeah.
But you would think 18 years later, have we made any progress in any kind of harmony in the world?
I don't think so. That's the sad thing. Yeah. But at least, thank God we remember, you know? Thank God that there are these moments of silence and memorials and, you know, because my fear is it would have just been forgotten. And we just need to remind ourselves. We need to stay vigilant, I think. If nothing else, that's the takeaway.
Stay vigilant.
You have to stay vigilant.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So if something doesn't look right, it probably isn't, you know?
True.
Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm really losing enthusiasm for this whole, I want to say upcoming presidential election.
Which, it's just getting interesting. Huh? Yeah, we got another year to go through this.
Another year to go, and I don't know if I'm up for it. I've got Trump fatigue syndrome.
You've come to the right place to get to get centered again.
I got Trump fatigue syndrome. I don't know if I can go through another 4 years, to be honest with you.
Of the Trumpiness?
The nonsense, the Twitters, the narcissism. We can say we agree with majority of his policy, but it's his style is just wearing thin on me.
I would agree with you, and I think there's a lot of people. Now, I'm not saying it's majority of people that would agree with you. I don't know, but I think there are. It certainly is. I think you said it best. Wearing
it is
and
wearing.
You don't want to go through this all the time.
It's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride because I think he'll do something, and I think, yeah, way to go. You know, finally someone. Whether it be. Get rid of some of these crippling regulations or some tax relief or...
Well, the foreign policy. You can question some of the things, but I mean, it's...
He's actually talked to North Korea.
Yeah, and, whether it's good or bad, you can argue that, but he's... I think he's tried a different tact.
Playing hardball with China.
Right.
Maybe when it's all said and done.
Right. That's still to be determined.
Still to be determined, but... You know, they were taking advantage of us by all accounts. So you think, all right, every time he does something, you think, yeah, this is making America better again. I don't know if I'm going to say great, but, then he'll shoot himself in the foot and just tweet something the next day. And you just think,
would you
just shut up?
Yeah. Right. I think what you got to do is, tune everything out.
Yeah.
And that by tuning it out, you can't read the paper. Again, you know, we've talked about this before. For me, the Wall Street Journal is the most, for the news, just the most unbiased
more straight reporting
of the news. Yeah, they're op-eds, yes. They're conservative.
But they're called op-eds, so you know that going in. Yeah.
But just as far as the news, I think that's, for me, that's the best outlet. To go to Fox or MSNBC, it's slanted.
Skewed.
It's going to be slanted for what you get.
Right.
And I think, you know, tuning everything out is really the best thing, and just looking at the direction, you know, how are things trending right now.
Right.
And
well, again, Lois, I think they announced today again, they got an unemployment figure, lowest black unemployment in 50 years or maybe ever. I'm trying to remember.
Right.
But I mean, the numbers, the job numbers look amazing.
Right. And he should get credit for those. Okay. The press in an unbiased world would give him credit for any of the policies he's done. He's not going to get credit for anything.
Well, they're going to say, well, this all started trending up with Obama.
Which it did.
And I agree, but when you're at rock bottom, you're going to trend up probably a little bit faster, right? Then you reach a certain level. It's like, okay, great.
Right.
Now we're GDP of whatever. What do we need to do to maintain that?
Right.
And that's where I think Trump deserves some credit.
Right. And you know, like they say, Obama does deserve credit because coming out of 2007
was brutal.
It was brutal.
Yeah. But he only had one place to go. That's the way I look at it too. And I'm not taking away.
But he stabilized things.
He did. I'm not taking anything away from him, but I'm not sure his plan. I don't think he put anything in motion that would sustain what we've seen over the last 3 years.
No, I agree with you there.
I could be wrong. I'm not an economist, but that's just my informed opinion.
I would agree with you with that.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm just struggling with, I wish there was an alternative to, you know, Trump fatigue syndrome. And I just don't see it. I just don't think it's going to come out of the Democrats. Although I mentioned to you earlier, I'm aligned with them on certain things. Overall, though, I just can't go in that direction.
Don't you think they're trying, the Democrats, the powers, are trying to take Biden out?
Yeah.
It just seems what gets leaked about him, that the base doesn't want Biden.
He's not not extreme enough, I guess.
Right, yeah. I think that's it exactly.
Not, I guess, word liberal, he's not liberal enough.
And I think he would have the best shot at
so I kind of like, hey, it's Uncle Joe up there.
Yeah.
You know, everyone, you know, seems to love the guy,
but
you know.
I think that the country is feeling that fatigue that you're talking about, and just, okay, can we catch our breaths here? And you know, he would be a good alternative. But I think if you get Warren or Harris or if people feel the burn,
us,
I think that they're it's just too radical.
Us people in the middle, and I find myself more and more dragged to the middle. It's not a choice. It's not a solid enough reason to jump ship. You know, as much as I maybe dislike Trump, they're not giving me a compelling reason or a vision that I'm comfortable with, you know.
Well, and maybe
to change parties.
And maybe when the election actually happens, when their nominee's there, in you'll be able to see a clear
distinction.
It'll be you know, right now there's just a lot of they got to get the nomination,
right?
So maybe they're just they got to be very far left,
right,
to get the nomination. And typically, historically, they tack back more to the middle.
Okay.
Whether that happens now or not, I don't know.
Really,
but you listen to what they say.
They're getting rid of Biden. It's not going to happen.
You know, I don't know.
Or maybe it's because he's an old white male.
That certainly doesn't help him.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the him being the front runner.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, he and Trump, two old white guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Running
that's
things
not,
like, that
that's
nobody
not
wants.
Not a pretty picture.
No.
For the younger electorate.
But when you listen to Warren, in some of her economic policies,
the
climate.
It's just But you know, I'm a little bit more on board with the climate than probably a lot of my fellow Republicans. I'm definitely aligned more Democrats when it comes to gun control. So the problem for me is there's not a single party that reflects my views. That's the problem I have. So,
right, but has there ever been?
I suppose it's not.
It's probably never
right.
total. I think every election I've ever, it's always become
lesser of two evils.
Yeah. Basically, you're not going to get anybody.
Just to use an expression, not that they're both evil.
Right.
Yeah.
You're never going to get anybody 100%.
No.
You agree with you.
Well, you know, it's going to be an interesting year. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about it. I would love to make this a Trump-free zone, but that's impossible.
Well, he makes it impossible.
And
that's part of his, I think, strategy.
Yeah,
you know, to be above the fold. What do they say? You want to be above the fold, all you know, in the paper all the time. And by gosh, he's there.
And no such thing as bad publicity,
right? You know about him.
Yeah.
And I think right now, though, until there's a Democrat candidate, you can tune everything out. And you've said it. some of his tweets are just funny.
They are.
I mean, he gets a little, I'm not saying he doesn't get wacky on some of them, but some of them are just just funny.
Yeah.
And I think that's you look.
They're funny if you're a Republican.
Well, that's true. He's appealing to his base, yeah, just like everybody else. Yeah. Maybe you just tune everybody out for the next year until there's a nominee.
Until it's decision time.
Until it's decision time.
There you go.
Just at
best
that time,
advice. Yeah, and maybe a round of applause too from our studio audience.
Thank you. Thank you.
Studio audience is really hanging on every word here.
They were.
On the other end of our line. Coach, joining us for
Fellas.
Dave and I have lost count. Coach, we don't know if this is season 5 or season 6. We haven't done the math. So anyway,
time kind of tends to run into itself a little bit.
they tend to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. At our age, you just kind of forget that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
What one year seems like the next.
So it's a new season for the Yacht Club show, and I hear you have a book review for us.
I have a book review, and it's a biography of Harry Truman.
Give me all Harry.
I was actually going to hold you guys in suspense a little bit. The title of the book, I was going to have you guess who it was about, and I know you never would have guessed. Well, but the title of the book is called The Accidental President.
No, I wouldn't have. Although was he a haberdasher? What was
he was a haberdasher.
He was, yeah. I thought you might have guessed the current resident of the White House.
You could make that argument, yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so that's the name of the book, and it's a good book. It's about his, basically, it's not a total biography, but it is of sorts, but it really, most of it covers the time leading up to him being vice president and then president, right after Roosevelt died, shortly after he was in office. And then so they dropped the bomb on the two bombs on Japan.
Yeah.
It was only a 4-month stretch there between the time that he became president because of Roosevelt's death and they dropped the
4 months?
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah. He had a baptism in fire.
Well, I'll say.
Joe, does it talk about his time in the vice president, you said?
Yeah, and again, they came into office in January, and then April is when Roosevelt died, April 12th.
Didn't Roosevelt want to get rid of Truman? He didn't want him to run with him? Was there?
No, he did. There was a couple other people that were really front runners, and Truman was kind of almost a compromise candidate. But Roosevelt did want him to be his vice president.
Okay.
And he must have seen something in him because Roosevelt, although I don't think he knew he was going to die that quickly, knew he didn't have long at that point. But he became a judge in, I think he was about 36 years old in Kansas. And he was part of this, he was brought in by this, they called it, the guy's name was Tom Pendergast. He was a, like a machine boss politician. And he brought him in as a judge, and then he ran for re-election, and he lost that election, but then he ran again for a county judge, and he became the county judge. And then in 1934, he ran for Senate and became a senator. But he was born in 1884, so he was in his 40s before he became a senator, and 57 when he became vice president. So he was, for that time, he was up in years.
Yeah, so he was a haberdasher in his 20s and early 30s, is what it sounds like.
He had a family farm, which actually eventually was failed while he was off to Senate. But he was a haberdasher, and that was, he had a partnership in that, and that didn't work out too good. But
wasn't much of a haberdasher.
No. But
made a better president than a haberdasher.
Yeah. You know, when he got in again, it was in April, and Nazi Germany fell, you know, within a matter of, I think, a month or so after that.
Okay.
And then he didn't even know about the atomic, you know, there was rumors of it, but he really didn't know anything in depth about the atomic bomb until he became president. And that was like in late April. And then in August is when they dropped the bombs.
Mm.
And there was a lot of controversy because of all the, you know, all the death. But, you know, I think over time, the historians have said that it saved a lot of lives.
That's what we've heard over the years.
A lot of Allied, because the Japanese were going to, you know, they were going to fight to, you know, they had estimates on what it would take to, because Japan was not going to surrender, but estimates on what the death toll would have been. And I think over, you know, history's been kind to him. You know, at the time, it was obviously a very controversial thing. So
history.
It's a good book. Yeah, it's a you know, it comes again from a different time, being born in 1884 till you know, growing up on a farm, and you know, coming up through the ranks, a judge and then senator, and again, just as almost a compromised candidate for vice president, and then all of a sudden he's
thrown into the eye of the storm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you learn much about his personality, kind of what made him tick?
Yeah, he was a real pragmatic guy. He liked to play the piano, and he wasn't a big drinker, but he'd have a drink. And he'd let his hair down and play the piano a little bit. And he was kind of a regular guy, really.
Yeah.
Even after he was out of office, you know, they said that, you know, he and his wife, you know, they could be seen sitting on their porch there in Washington, people walking by.
Yeah, and didn't he, he took the train back to, back home, didn't he? Wasn't there he just lived in, where do you live, Independence?
Yeah,
he just took the train or...
Independence, Kansas?
Kansas,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Or excuse me, Independence, Missouri.
Missouri.
Sitting on his porch and drinking lemonade and sweet tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bess in her cotton jet dress, and you're sitting there kicking it.
He might have had a little mix and a flask off to the side.
Every once in a while, he'd have a little nip, but...
that was his retirement, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Regular guy. Give him hell, Harry.
Yeah.
So you'd recommend it, huh?
Yeah, it was a good book, yeah.
The Accidental President. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a music break, and we'll do a wrap-up with the local sports scene. All right, well, it's fall, it's football, baseball playoffs will be
great time. The hockey training camp starting.
But not a good time to be a Detroit fan of any of these sports. Would you agree?
Well,
what do you think about the Lions?
Well, you know, it's like John McKay said, what do you think about the team's execution? I said I'm in favor of it.
I wasn't watching the game. I just heard the score was 24-6, and I'm thinking, doggone, maybe this is the year.
Yep.
So I turned it on, and I think it was 24-9 when I – and they were driving.
Three field goals. Right.
It was 24-9, and Arizona was driving, and, you know, they scored, and I'm unbelievable. It just – you know, when they called that time, and the timeout was not the issue, okay?
When they probably could have iced it with that.
They shouldn't have been in that point. But that it just tipped. Lions find a new way to screw it up.
Well, it's unbelievable.
Yes.
They scored eight, I believe it was 18 points in the fourth quarter against this first-year coach in his first game and this first-year quarterback.
Yeah.
The kid in the first half looked like he was just,
first-year quarterback.
Way over his head, and he was running for his life, and he looked like he was too small for the game. And the second half, he got his feet underneath him, and I think they scored 5 times in a row.
Yeah.
I think it was 24-0. And I think it was 24-0. And I was actually almost feeling sorry for this team. I was watching it with my son Jimmy for a minute, and then the guy muffs the punt and they get 3 points. And I mean, you could just go right through the list. Like you say, that it's not one thing. It's just a combination of things, you know?
And you know, Coach, when on that last drive, Trey Flowers got
I didn't see it either.
I didn't see it either. But I'm thinking if he doesn't make that same mistake in
when he's a Patriot,
or they don't call it.
I think they don't call it. No, so he's the Lions, so they're gonna get called. I really do.
Well, you know, the thing is. Isn't the guy that's Trey, is he an interior lineman or what is his position?
Defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Where in the world does a defensive lineman ever get called for a face?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And, you know, they show the replay.
You know, your guy will be running down the sideline and a guy will go to tackle him and he'll try and grab his face mask.
Yeah.
But where have you ever heard of an interior lineman getting called for a face mask?
When he's a Lion.
In a scrum like that.
When you're a Lion, that's when you hear
they
it.
They just find a new way to lose all the time. You can't make it up.
I think it is a curse of Bobby Lane.
Is that what
they call it?
Yeah.
There's something hanging over this franchise.
Yeah.
I don't think an ownership change is going to make a difference. I really don't. There's this dark cloud hanging over Ford Field, you know?
Yeah, I just don't understand. I mean, they've tried everything.
Everyone said Matt Millen, what a great hire.
Yeah.
All the guys used to play with Matt Millen were coming out and saying, oh, my God, this is just the best thing the Lions could have done.
Yeah.
And what a bust that was. Yeah. And now, you know, you get the kid, the GM from New England. Oh, that's smart. You steal someone from the best franchise in football. What a brilliant move by the Lions.
And I think he's made good moves. I mean, overall.
He's had decent drafts. This tight end looks like he's going to be terrific.
Yeah. And, you know, we're ripping on these guys, but, hey, they're undefeated.
There you go.
Never thought of it that way.
That's right.
All right. I think with that, you know, I like that. Let's cheer on our undefeated Detroit Lions, and hope for the best.
Yeah. Yes. Who do they got this week? Oh, San Diego.
They got Chargers.
There's always next week.
Undefeated. All right, guys. Been fun. We'll do our sign off, eh?
All right. Yeah. Killer Joe. All right, let's see.
Yeah.
What should you do? Keep them open right now, just till we know what's going
on. Keep both eyes open right now. Jeez.
Just for now.
I'm exhausted.
Till we see what's happening.
Both eyes open. Not just
right
one.
Now give them both open.
In other words, don't sleep. Be vigilant,
like we said earlier.
Okay. All right, Coach.
Well, I'm going to change it up a little bit just because of we're getting a thunderstorm out here, and I want to share a little wholesale man wisdom. When you buy a car in the rain, you better sell it in the rain.
All right, guys. Catch you next time.
All right. Take care.
See you, Joe.
Yeah,
bye.
If you can find a better podcast, listen to it.
Music by Detroit's own The Renfields.